This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, folks, you might remember this catchy tune about a group of teenagers and a superhero with green hair fighting against pollution.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
You know, it seems that we're still trying very hard not to lose the fight against Captain Pollution as evil ways, but a new study about the health and economic gains from investing in cleaner air might actually help us get our act together.
Right, that's how you get people, right? Tell them about the economic benefits, how they can save money.
I really think sometimes an 80s cartoon with a great intro wrong theme might be more effective, but sometimes numbers matter as well.
You know, so governments worldwide apparently could serve $54 trillion in healthcare by investing less than half that amount in green products by mid-century. And this is this was said at the Lancet Planetary Health, which is an online academic journal. I mean, it's a really, I mean, so the basically the investment, such an investment that half that amount could result in 30 million fewer premature deaths related to air pollution. And also, you know, the Paris Agreement, the one that Donald Trump said bye-bye to.
Snapped to, yes.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that was actually a really good effort in heading towards that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's, we don't know. I mean, the rest of the countries are on board still, right? And they've ignored America's overture.
Well, everybody banded together on this issue because, you know, there was an attempt to keep the global hike in temperatures well below 2 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
Above pre-industrial times. And, of course, pursuing efforts on a wider scale for a far tougher 1.5-degree ceiling. But when you take a look at the number that you just provided, Uma, $54 trillion American dollars,
yep.
210 trillion ringgit in healthcare potential savings when it comes to costs. I mean, that is a staggering number.
So if you watch, there's that movie, An Inconvenient Sequel, where Al Gore's little efforts towards environmentalism, they talk about the Paris Agreement and COP, right? And essentially, you know, China and India were some of the biggest holdouts and how they went about trying to convince these two nations to get on board.
Numbers?
So this study says something similar. China and India will have to spend about $9 trillion of those dollars, but they will also see the most gains.
Wow.
And yeah. So I think this really is the best argument. It's basically, it's like actually you're going to save lives, tangible lives, and also save a ton of money.
Well, I'm sure that sort of notion will make its way to Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington.
Really?
So we're crossing over to Dr. Helmi Hajamaindin, co-founder of Asthma Malaysia. It's an NGO that aims to educate people who suffer from the respiratory condition. Dr. Helmi, always good to hear from you and have you on the program. Can you give us some perspective on how air pollution is deadly and expensive healthcare-wise?
The WHO estimates that in 2012, about 6.5 million deaths around the world were due to air pollution, and it can literally affect all stages of life. So if you're a pregnant lady, your baby's growth will be affected. If you're a child, you may have your growth restricted, so you won't achieve your full potential. It can cause new diseases like lung cancer, and it can make your normal diseases worse. So it can exacerbate existing diseases like asthma and heart failure. And the other thing was, even in the elderly, there was a study in the New England Journal last year which showed that there was a very strong correlation between deaths in the elderly and the degree of air pollution that they're exposed to. So you can imagine how that has a bearing in terms of cost, in terms of hospitalization, in terms of absenteeism. And this is not even taking into account the opportunity cost as well of where that amount of money could have been put into in terms of developing our country.
All right, Dr. Helmi, in your practice as a respiratory physician, do you come across patients who get ill due to air pollution? And what does that say about air pollution here in Malaysia?
I suppose it's very variable. So typically we only ever notice it in Malaysia when we go through our hazy season. So, you know, is it what, September, August, thereabouts? You know, things get a bit more polluted, we become a bit more aware of it, then you do see a higher number of patients who come in because of difficulty breathing or irritation to the airways. And sometimes it is also a factor of where people live, where people work. So if you're exposed to busy roads, for example, or you live near power stations, for example, those things can be factors that make your health worse.
And looking at, I guess, studies like this, which highlight the economic gains of slowing down greenhouse emissions as compared to dealing with the repercussions, can it push countries to pay more attention to preventive measures?
I think so. You know, as the saying goes, prevention is better than cure. And it applies here as well. There is a lot that we can do as individuals, a lot that policymakers can do. So, for example, as individuals, you know, if we use the public transport more often, we cut down use of plastic bags, we don't burn rubbish, we do what we can to conserve energy, especially in Malaysia, you know, the aircon is switched on at about, 16 degrees all the time. Even changing that a little bit is going to help affect matters. And I think, quite importantly, once we are more aware of the importance of this, we need to make our voices heard to create some degree of political pressure, because that will then lead on to policymakers being more aware of things. And then implementing factors that can actually make a difference. So things like cutting down on diesel vehicles and, you know, giving incentives to increase things like gas-powered buses or electric vehicles, ensuring that our waste are divided into recyclables and organic waste so that organic waste can be composted, because that can then reduce the amount of methane that's emitted. So there are lots of things that can be done. But I think ultimately what needs to be done at the very beginning is for us to be aware of things and then to make some noise of it, because I will be very keen for policy issues like this to be discussed at a more public and at a higher level so that we actually see changes that are long-lasting.
And I guess it's really down to changing habits, right?
Yeah. So things like what you've mentioned, Dr. Helmy, such as opting for public transport, turning down the air conditioner. But the researchers in this study call for more aggressive measures to address pollution. And do you agree that there's a need for that?
Depends on what you're talking about with regards to aggressive measures. Now, a top-down solution per se may not be the best way to go forward. It may work better in a country like China. So China, just this week at the Communist Party conference, they talked about how the economy and pollution are the two critical battles that the country is facing. And in a system like that, because it's top-down, you can implement things quite quickly and quite aggressively. But in a democracy like Malaysia, I think it is far more important that we educate people, we make people more aware, that we empower people to make noise, because when there is a demand for these things to be implemented, then the powers that be will respond accordingly.
Well, Dr. Helmy, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. And, of course, that was Dr. Helmy Hajimaidin, co-founder of Asthma Malaysia, giving us some insight into the potential approaches that, you know, governments and countries can take to reduce greenhouse emissions.
All right. Sing along, man. We're the Planeteers. You can be one, too, because saving our planet is the thing to do. See, they had rap in the song as well. Well, looting and polluting is not the way.
Oh, no.
Here's what Captain Planet has to say.
All right. let's save, you know, the listeners' ears for another minute or so. Stay tuned to the evening edition. We'll be right back after this on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.